Welcome back, Crusaders, to the Nerd Crusade Podcast. This is episode 66. I'm your host, Ian, and with me, as always, Courtney.
Hello.
This week, not a whole lot to talk about, but we got a few things to talk about.
All because of me.
This game, sorry, another late episode, but it's because we were sick, and hey, if you're sick, we're going to take our time off to rest up and give you 100% voice of scraggly coffee voice the entire time. So,
That's what you like to do. You like to give the scraggly a voice.
Try not to if I can.
Sounds so wonderful.
Yes. So, this week we're going to be talking about two TV shows that we've checked out. One we've watched all of, the other one we've just watched the first two episodes. But both are pretty interesting. One is kind of divisive. Some people like it. Some people really hate it. It was a surprise because we didn't think we'd watch it, but we actually binged the whole thing in one night because...
It was excellent.
Yeah, it was honestly... I love it. Six episodes being 30 minutes was only like 3 hours of your time, so...
It's just an extended movie, that's all.
And it was worth watching the whole thing anyway.
Yeah.
That would be the new Knuckles TV show miniseries that came out on Paramount Plus on the 26th, I think?
Yes.
Surprisingly very good. I mean, this is the same quality of the Sonic movies. And
yeah, they did not skimp on any of the production value at all with this, which was very nice to see.
Yeah, and the whole thing was very much like a direct continuation after the Sonic 2 movie.
Yeah, so you would have to have watched the first Sonic movie and the second Sonic movie.
To kind of understand what the hell's going on. If you haven't watched the Sonic movies, you'll kind of be like, what? Okay, this is weird. Why are they here?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Who they have people? A brief summary in the first episode, but you really do need to watch the two movies to understand what's going on.
Yeah,
and honestly, this is for the people who watched the movies and enjoyed those movies.
Yeah, and those movies for video game adaptation, they're perfectly fine. Like, they're clearly family films for kids and whatnot, but they are still entertaining to watch, and this is definitely a family miniseries for family and kids to watch. It's still, well, entertaining and everything.
Yes.
The people who were behind...
It's a friendly Bowfinger.
Yeah, definitely. And people behind creating it definitely...
were inspired by it very heavily.
Definitely were, but were also very much knew how to use their budget very wisely.
Yes. They went to Reno, not Las Vegas.
Yeah. yeah, there's jokes about that. But they also have a great cast. They have the guy who played the Mountain in...
No, not the Mountain.
Not the Mountain, the Hound
from Game of Thrones,
also known as the Yarp guy from Hot Fuzz.
That's all you remember him from, is the Yarp?
Because when you see it, you can't unsee that he's Yarp. and has Idris Elba coming back, playing as Knuckles.
Excellent job, he chews it up.
Has the same cast as from the movies of the people who return with the roles, such as the sheriff's wife, the deputy... Wade Whipple is technically the main character in this.
Yes.
And then we have characters like his mom, who's played by Stockyard Channing, who is actually a very famous actress. Seen her in lots of stuff.
Like what, Ian? As you quickly look on IMDb.
Practical Magic.
That's it!
And she was also Rizzo in Grease. That's where I know her from.
Vegas is from. Okay. She's had plastic surgery, so it's a little hard sometimes.
Yeah, she definitely had a lot of plastic surgery. Christopher Lloyd plays the voice of one of the Knuckles' chief echidna.
Yes. Chief
Pakanakamak, which they just call him Mac.
Yes, so Chief Mac.
Yep. You have Ellie Taylor, who plays Sassy in Ted Lasso, is our head antagonist, other than the Hound. Roy McCann.
I loved her.
She does a great job. You have Kid Cudi, who he does decent, but like Kid Cudi is like desperately trying to be an actor, like trying to. He's like, I feel like he's trying to be like Ludacris.
Oh,
but like Ludacris was real successful in acting.
Well, Kid Cudi is
kind of like not as good as an actor, but he really loves Sonic, so that's why he's here.
Yeah, well, to be fair, Ludacris really lucked out with the Fast and Furious franchise.
Yeah, Ja Rule kind of missed the boat on that.
Yeah.
It's funny, because Kid Cudi's not even the list of characters. Cary Elwes is also in this, which was a big surprise.
Yes, he was so delightful.
Yeah, he was, as Pistol Pete.
Yes.
So,
definitely... His costuming was amazing.
Definitely really good. I want to say there's one other character here who I'm not seeing listed, who was like the guy who played his friend.
Jack
Jack Sinclair,
Sinclair.
Julian Barrett. He is like such a weird character, but he's like one of the
He
best
fits
characters
so
in it.
well.
He's from the Mighty Boosh, which is probably this biggest thing, biggest TV series. I've heard at least of that.
Bob's Burgers, he was in a couple episodes.
Yeah, he plays the character Ian. Yeah, it looks like he's done a lot of small like things, mostly TV series, but he is hilarious in this and basically steals every scene he's in and has a whole episode where he does a rock opera, which was
Was the best episode.
great.
I want to see that in real life because the production value for that is wow. And it's done all practically.
Yeah, because for like where they use the CGI is just Knuckles and anything kind of around him, basically. A lot of other stuff is really practical. So the stunts in this show are done really, really well. The like we said, the rock opera has probably a few CGI elements, but you don't notice what's what really. They use a lot of practical effects to tell the history and story of background of Knuckles. And they do it in a really interesting, fun way with that rock opera. Definitely, very surprisingly, very good. The premise is definitely silly. That's why it's a kids show or kind of a kids family show, right?
Hit event.
Yeah, basically, after the events of Sonic 2, Knuckles is now living with Sonic and Tails at their house, but he
At
can't.
Donut Lord's
Yeah,
house.
but he can't adjust to the peaceful life of Green Hill Zone because
Green
he.
Hill Zone.
Well, they live in Green
It's
Hills, but it's basically supposed to be Green Hill Zone, right? But basically, he's too caught up in being a warrior and wanting to destroy stuff. He literally attacks the
Well, to
people.
protect.
Yeah, he attacks the construction workers who are trying to fix the house. He sets the living room up as like an arena for the dog to fight the mailman.
Yep, that was great.
Yeah. While Sonic basically, you really only see Sonic and Tails, I think, really in the first episode.
Yeah, that's the only time you see Sonic and Tails.
Yeah, and they're only there to try and kind of tell him, like, hey, you need to
Adjust.
relax and you need to calm down and chill. And that's when he runs into kind of Wade Whipple, who is the deputy in the movies. And Wade's big thing is he's trying to go to a bowling tournament. So this whole thing is a buddy story about two guys going to Reno for a bowling tournament. Very much Kingpin-ish, almost.
It's
Like,
very Kingpin.
they have lots, and like,
I meant Kingpin. Why did I say Bowfinger? I
yeah, I
have
don't know.
no
Yeah,
idea.
Kingpin, but like not as adult as Kingpin is. Kingpin has like lots of dirty jokes in it, like where
What's a tamer
this is
version
a
of
kid's
Kingpin?
version of Kingpin, basically.
Yeah.
And they reference Kingpin because like they even says I'll be Munson'd out here, which is like a joke in Kingpin about how Munson meant to be stranded or up the creek without a paddle, and that was the guy's main character's name. They have the copied scene of like Bill Murray pulling out the bowling ball with a rose. Carrie always pulls out his bowling ball and has a teacup in it because he's like Lord British almost. Wearing his whole outfit's like is the Jack Russell flag basically.
Yes, Jack Russell.
Not Jack Russell, was it
Union
Union
Jack.
Jack? I'm sorry, the Union Jack flag.
Still on medication. Our brains are
Yeah.
not working.
But basically, the plot is that as soon as Knuckles and Wade leave Green Hill Zone, the agents from Gunn, which is played by Ellie Taylor and Kid Cudi, are kind of going rogue and they're trying to capture Knuckles so they can sell his quills off to Roy McCann's character, who is Robotnik's like protege scientist who's building weapons based off the quills, which is kind of like just a side kind of plot, really. Like it's really only handled in the first two episodes and like the very last episode. Because
They kind of
let
forget about it a little bit in the middle.
yeah, because it basically is all about the bowling tournament, trying to get Wade so that he can like be more confident and be a warrior. Like Knuckles is taking him under his wing as a protege, and the bowling alley is his battlefield. And it turns out that this whole thing turns into Wade trying to find his dad, who abandoned him in a TJ Maxx, who his dad turns out to be Pistol Pete, who was Cary Elwes, who ditched him to be a professional bowler in Reno, of all places, because he's not good enough to be a professional bowler in Vegas. But like I said, the production value of this was really, really good, like through the roof, like
I'm
done well.
amazed how much money they threw into this. And also, can we talk about the soundtrack for this show?
Oh yeah, because Wade's big thing is that
It's amazing.
he made CDs of rock music in the 90s.
You know, your CD mixtapes?
Yeah, he basically made those, and so like the soundtrack is a bunch of like great like 90s bangers and everything.
That was wonderful. I on Spotify, you can get the CD mixtape to listen to. It has all the music on there, and it's freaking amazing.
Let's actually look up what the playlist is.
Yeah, you just type in Knuckles into Spotify, and it should be the first thing that pops up.
Knuckles original playlist.
Yeah.
That's a lot of video game music. So that's probably not the right one. No, Paramount City soundtrack radio. Okay, so they mixed a bunch of stuff in there.
Yeah, they have a
ton of stuff. Yeah, the Flames of Disaster featuring Markable. No, that's actually in the show.
Yeah.
Gotta Go Fast. Yep, Sonic theme. Don't Stop Me Now by Queen.
Warrior should be in there.
Centuries from Fall Out Boy. Kings and Queens, 3 Seconds to Mars, yeah. Regardless, the soundtrack is really, really good. Definitely check that out. The whole show is really fun to watch. And like I said, the 30-minute episodes, so 6 episodes, is only 3 hours of your time. So you can make an evening of it. And as ridiculous as it is, it's really fun. Because basically, instead of like where Sonic is in the movies is always the comedy guy and... Lord Donut the Sheriff, basically Cyclops got dude, was the straight man. Here, it's Knuckles is a straight man, and Wade Whipple is kind of the comedy joke guy.
But it works so
well. And it works really well, surprisingly, especially the way Idris Elba plays it. And I'd be excited to see if they do another like miniseries or when they do the movie with Keanu Reeves' Shadow.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, Idris Elba said he's really, he'd be excited to work with Keanu Reeves again. Mm-hmm. So definitely great because everybody plays their role 100% and nobody's just half-assing it or just doing it for phoning it in for a paycheck. Carrie Elwes goes all out. Everybody goes all out on this. The action and stunts are quite amazing. The fact that like at one point Wade gets hooked by the foot and dragged down the stairs of a porch and down the street by a motorcycle.
Yes.
That stunt was done really well. Like it looked painful. The guy did it really well. The whole rock opera episode is by far the best.
Yes.
It really is kind of a pause in the story to tell you the background of Knuckles and like his entire backstory. But the practical way they did it was great. And the fact that Julian Barr, who basically ends up like being the main singer narrator of the story, the way he plays his character is great and it fits perfectly.
I want to see more of him.
Yeah, it'd be great. He kind of got defeated in a jousting duel where he got his ponytail cut off, which is hilarious. And then he lost his jacket and his shirt and ran away, screaming, "Don't look at me."
In front of a bunch of children.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
It's great.
Definitely worth a watch. And so if you have Paramount Plus, I'd definitely check it out. Would it be worth buying Paramount Plus for? Probably not alone. I would say if you like some of the reality shows like Amazing Race, Survivor, if you want a service that has a good chunk of the old Nickelodeon stuff on it. And
you know, early 90s before
all the bad shit happened.
Yeah.
Before
the diddling.
Yeah, before they started diddling people.
Jesus.
That stuff is there. That would make it worth getting Paramount Plus. As far as their shows go, like original shows that Paramount has made that we've watched, we watched the Halo show, which was fucking terrible and horrible. The Sonic movies have been decent and have a good adaptation of like the video game and the spirit of what the game is supposed to be. And I feel like this is a good continuation of that. People who didn't like this show or thought it was terrible were very much, I think they're being too critical. Like, you gotta remember, this is for people who like the Sonic movies, it's for the kids out there. It's actually really good for that. I feel like I had no problem like letting a kid watch this show, let them watch the Sonic films, and something like the whole family could watch and have fun with.
Yeah. I like the subtle adult humor in the back, which is what a lot of family movies have, and I love that.
Yeah. Like, even the ridiculousness of how, like, Wade and his sister act, it seems really weird and childish, but it actually fits that universe.
Yeah. Well, also, my sister and I do that to each other too.
Yeah, but your sister's not pretending like she's in the FBI and she's super important.
currently. No, but we annoy each other to that point of one-upping.
Yeah.
Maybe not stabbing each other with forks yet.
Yeah, she stabs him with a fork in the dinner episode, like, out of frustration. It's like, what the fuck?
It's so funny.
But
it's great moments. It's
really
fun.
Really good show. I definitely recommend it. Check that out.
Yep. Especially if you've watched the first two movies, this is a great continuation.
Yep.
If you didn't like the first two movies, then skip it.
Yeah. So the next show is something that came out on Netflix recently.
Yes.
It's actually listed in the top 10 TV shows right now.
Yes. I made you watch this.
Yeah, I checked out the first two episodes that you like you did. It's called Dead Boy Detectives. It's actually really interesting. And the kind of key thing that piqued my interest is what you said is that it was written by Neil Gaiman. Mm-hmm. And then after watching it, it does take place in the same universe as Sandman, because yes,
I left that part out so you could discover it on your own.
So, because there's one scene where Death shows up and it's actually the same actress who's playing her
from the
Sandman show. So this does take place in the same world. This is based off of another comic book that Neil Gaiman wrote as well, so it's all in the same universe. The premise is that there's these two dead.
Well, it's called the Dead Boy Detectives.
Yeah, I already said what the title is.
Oh, I didn't pay attention to you.
But the premise is that the dead boys are two ghosts who are like ghost detectives for ghosts in London. One died in the 1980s, and the other one died in like
1916.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Before World War One or whatnot. And you learn kind of what their backstories were as the show goes on, but basically they take a case where they have to, exorcise a demon from a psychic, and then this ends up taking them to Port Townsend, Washington, which is basically the town next to where Courtney grew up, which is hilarious. And anytime they film anything in Washington, or they play something in Washington, they definitely didn't film it there. It's really hilarious because, like, they make Port Townsend
so hard.
They make Port Townsend look really big. It's like, no, it's not that big of a town. It's not that so tiny. But there's a lot of interesting stuff.
It looks more like Port Angeles, if anything.
I would say the show for the first two episodes remind me a lot like of Grimm.
Yes,
where it's like a detective show with a bunch of supernatural stuff, but it's in the Sandman universe. So there's going to be kind of references to things like that. So basically, after like. They help exorcise the demon from the psychic girl. She gets them involved in working a case of a missing girl who's takes them to Port Townsend. To where through their shenanigans, the ghost boy that died in 1916 gets trapped in Port Townsend, so they can't leave
because of cats.
Yeah, because apparently you don't cast magic on cats, and he did. Got in a kerfuffle with the Cat King, where this is where it's like Grimm mixed with I think the show is called Good Girl, okay. The one where the girl is a succubus.
Oh yes,
it gives me a feeling of a little bit of that show as well.
Okay,
because I dealt with lots of natural stuff, but like it's interesting that like. The Cat King wants to screw the guy. The guy's like, he's from 1916, so like the concept of homosexuality is offensive to him completely, just because time.
No, but you see the way he looks. Yeah, there's a look.
So they're stuck in Portland. They're stuck in Port Townsend until he counts all the cats or has sex with the Cat King.
Well, they didn't say have sex with
me. He has to make the Cat King happy. And the Cat King had a few suggested ideas.
Yeah, it's called ear scratchies.
Yeah, and then he also pissed off a witch while they were there.
He pissed off the witch because they were getting the little girl that they came to Port Townsend.
Kidnapped. So the witch is also upset to the fact that they're trapped there. So now she has two people that aren't going to let her kidnap children so she can keep her youth. And they can't leave. And basically, by the end of the second episode, their detective agency is now set up in Port Townsend. It's actually very, very interesting. I do like where they're going with it. I like the concept that they're also running away from death because they don't want her to take them to the afterlife because they enjoy staying amongst the living.
And helping out ghosts.
Yeah, the whole thing was like, instead of being like ghosts who help the living, their whole gimmick was they were ghosts who help other ghosts.
So they can move on.
This case with the psychic girl was the first one where, like, all right, we're going to help this ghost help her friend who's been possessed.
Yeah.
But she ends up sticking around with them and getting where they end up getting stuck in Port Townsend. It's real hilarious to us because we know what Port Townsend is like. We know what Washington is like. So, like, them filming it in the Pacific, filming it in a location that's supposed to be the Pacific Northwest is always interesting to see. Especially when they never film anything over here because it's too
Well, to
expensive.
be fair, they have filmed plenty of films and television shows in Port Townsend.
But nothing recent.
Yeah, because the film initiative here in Washington State is shit, but
Like,
that's besides
back
the
in the 90s, they
point.
used to film stuff in Washington. They don't film anything up here
Yes.
anymore.
Yes.
They'll use Vancouver,
Yes, very.
Canada instead. But very interesting and very unique characters, which kind of give you more of an insight to this world that Sandman built. So if you watch Sandman and enjoy that, I think you'll watch this and you'll enjoy this quite a bit. I mean, I think by the end of the second episode where they had captured the two dandelion pixies, like they those two characters are not, they don't have a lot of lines, but they're very funny.
Yeah.
And just like their attitude is
They
hilarious.
had a right amount of comedy. And I like the look and the color scheme they're going with for this show as well. It's really nice.
Yeah, and there's a lot of like it looks like kind of not necessarily no names, but like up and coming actors. Like we don't have a lot of people here that we've seen before, but really, really entertaining. It's on Netflix. It's like it's in the top 10 of their TV shows right now. I believe it's 8 episodes, hour each episode. So definitely recommend so far. If you think you watch, we'll probably finish it up this week.
And then we'll give our final thoughts on it.
But as far as supernatural shows go, like we've seen a couple that have come out, like I think Gargoyles out of Germany. There's a few other, like in from other places where that have like kind of the right idea, but they don't have the budget to do the special effects right. Where I feel like
This
this show
has
has the right
the
budget
yes.
and it's doing a good mixture of the special effects to where it's not like all completely CG and kind of pulls you out of it. It's done right. The characters are played right of. Teenage punk kid from the 80s playing a British punk kid in the 80s playing against a British posh boy from 1916 works really well. And you kind of see how they're opposites to each other. The demon that is kind of stalking the psychic girl is, that seems really interesting because her whole bit is after they exorcise the demon, he took a bunch of her memories with him, so she has no idea who she is or where her family is. So she's kind of sticking with them so that they can try and get her memories back, and like Grimm, it's going to lead to them running to a bunch of other things. So definitely worth checking out. If you like Sandman, you'll like this. Check this out while we wait for Sandman season two,
Yeah.
because Sandman
I
will live
feel
on
like this is
Netflix.
going to be a nice filler to fill that void.
Yeah, I don't know. Did Sandman ever get greenlit
I
for
don't
season
know.
two?
I don't know off the top of my head. You can look it up
Let's
real quick.
see.
I
Sandman.
hope so, because I really like it, and they have a lot more to
Season
explore.
2. Sandman Season 2 is in production.
Yay.
So this is a good filler in between it for that universe and get a little more insight. I'd love to see where they go next with Sandman.
Yes.
And I would love to see more of a crossover if the next season of Sandman has the Detective Boys in it. That would be interesting too. So definitely check that out. That's on Netflix. Really interesting show. We thought it was really good. As far as gaming news, there was a bunch of indie stuff that was announced. Bethesda also announced that they are going to have a summer showcase coming up in a month or two.
Yes.
They did also announce today their next big update for Starfield will include the map update that everybody's been wanting. So all the maps now are going to have a geographical layout, so you'll actually be able to see what buildings are where, what the geographical layout is around them. So instead of just being a grid with like, here's a dot where this is, here's a dot where that is, you'll actually kind of see a topographical map. The one that they showcased in their video was of New Atlantis, I think is the name of the main city, right? I can't remember. I haven't played Starfield in a while, but like the main one of the main
Yes,
city
New
hubs.
Atlantis is the name of the main
So they
city.
showed that, and you actually can see the tower of it and whatnot. But I mean, one criticism is when you turn on the scanner, though, they put markers for where everything is at.
Oh.
So it's really cluttered. And I think that's because when you have a marker on the scanner, you can fast travel directly to it instead of having to walk over there. So they marked like all the stores, all the locations. And like you can literally
But that was
from.
kind of the one of the fun parts of being in New Atlantis is exploring.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing, is that they're listening to the complainers too much.
Fair.
But they did have good news saying, yeah, they are working on their first vehicles for vehicle travel on planets. Oh, and they showed they did show a clip of a guy like in a four-wheel vehicle driving around as they're developing that. That's not going to be in the next update, but this is confirmed that they're working on it.
Good.
They're adding a harder difficulty.
Okay.
And a performance mode for like 60, well, more like finite performance mode, I guess, and like options to find to finesse that a little bit more, which will be good.
Question though, are they going to fix the
crashing? Yeah, I don't know. I played it for over an hour a day, it didn't crash.
Oh,
so maybe it is fixed. Shocked. Maybe not. I don't know. But like historically, it's been like 60 minutes, it crashes, and it. I played for more than 60 minutes a day, and it did not crash.
I am shocked.
Yeah. So that the new update is not out yet. That it will be out. It's out on the Steam beta right now, mm-hmm. and it'll be out on all platforms later this month.
Okay.
But that.
Oh, there's the cough. There's the scratch.
So that's coming out later this month. Once they put all the patch notes, we'll probably go over all that.
Okay.
But so far, it looks good. So they're adding difficulty, performance stuff, and they're changing all the maps so they actually look better. That'll be interesting to see. So it sounds like they're kind of going on the right path. They are listening to people who are complaining about the game. Like I said, I think some things are going to be a little bit too cluttered, but we'll have to see if you can adjust that in your HUD or whatnot.
Yeah.
Other than that, the Fallout 4 update came out, but it's not necessarily broken, but it takes up to 3 minutes for it to load on a console.
Ew.
Like, it's not to load your save. It's literally just to go from title screen to main menu. It goes through a black loading screen and loads for about 3 minutes, and then you'll get to your screen where you can go continue load, new game, or whatnot, and then the game will play fine after that. It's just, for some reason, we have to wait 3 minutes for it to load a menu.
Uh-huh.
Don't know why it's doing that. Have no idea how to fix it. There's nobody reporting that issue, but at least that's what is happening to us on it. So we'll have to see what happens there. Other than that, everybody's just kind of waiting to see what the summer showcases are for all the game companies to see what's coming out. Because like I said, there's not a whole lot really interesting. We might pick up Sandland, because after looking at that and being a vehicle combat game, that looked more interesting than just a open world desert wandering game. Vehicle combat sound a lot more interesting because you don't have a lot of just vehicle combat games out there anymore, and being kind of like the last hurrah for the guy who made the design Dragon Ball, and everything, this should be pretty interesting. I think a lot of people who have played it have said it's been very good. The people who have not liked it don't seem to me like there are people who aren't familiar with the manga that it came from, or the anime, or anything like that.
Or even the creator.
Yeah.
As well.
Because
this is very much like his style of storytelling.
Yeah, and I think like if you understand where that's coming from, you'll probably enjoy it. We'll get our hands on it probably the end of this week, and then we'll give you a first impressions video and all that on there, too. Okay. But that is our show for now. It's a little short show this week, but we will be back next week with more Dead Boy Detectives.
And something else I'll make Ian watch.
Yeah,
maybe we'll talk about Amazing Race.
No, we're not going to talk about reality shows.
Talk about reality.
No, because reality shows just have us talking about how stupid people are.
Exactly.
We're not going to go over
that. We love that.
So, we'll have other stuff to talk about, because there are some movies that are going to start coming out here in the summer.
More shows. Doctor Who's starting out. Yeah,
Doctor Who's going to be starting up.
There's stuff in May. I need to look.
Yeah. So, we'll have that coming up through May, and we'll be putting up a few more videos and whatnot. So, we'll see you then. You can find us at nerdcrusade.com, where you can find all our articles, news, podcasts, obviously, any of our videos that we put up.
We're on YouTube.
Has a direct link to the Twitch stream at twitch.tv/nerdcrusade.
Yeah.
So, you can watch our streams there, where we play usually on Wednesdays and Thursdays, and games we play vary. Because I just play whatever. So.
What are you going to play tomorrow? I'm going to make you play tomorrow.
I don't know. I'm thinking maybe Resident Evil. I'll see if I can get through Resident Evil 4, maybe.
There you go.
So, We'll be playing some games. Come check it out. Come hang out. We'll see you then. Until then, have a great day.
Bye.